Listen to Alan for breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, guys, and welcome to the catch-up. Geez, what a show today. I had a chat to the principal of the Vass Primary School as they attempt to break a world record. We'll have to see how they go with that. Also, Cancer Council, you've got, obviously, Daffodil Day coming up in August. Had a chat a little bit about that. From MasterChef, poor Chloe sent home last night. Had a chat with her. A little bit of gags in there as well. Gnomesville, the new kind of campaign they could be doing to boost tourism. Police have been called out for their sneaky techniques at busting cops with their undercover cars. We had a little bit of fun with that one as well. A few other little extras in there as well, including Bon Jovi Oki. Enjoy the catch up. Here in the Southwest, we love breaking a world record, and that is exactly what is going to be happening today at Vass Primary School. Hopefully, what is going to happen is they're going to try and have the most amount of characters from a Dr. Seuss novel in dress up. Should be a lot of fun. I happen to have right now the principal of Vass Primary School on the line. Sinan, good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm going well, thanks, Alan. Going well. Very excited over here. It's all go. It's we're really excited. Can't wait for the day to start.
Where did this idea come from?
Well, this week we're celebrating Book Week, and we're celebrating Dr. Seuss books as our Book Week. And the deputy principal, Rob Reynolds, decided to do a bit of a Google search for various things and come and saw that a school had broken a world record for the largest gathering of people dressed as Dr. Seuss characters, and they were from over east. So we thought, well, we could beat that. That was about 500.
Mm-hmm.
So we put in a submission to have a go at the world record, and then we found out in February of this year, Heron Pond Elementary School in US broke it again. So they've broken it 686.
Wow. Characters.
So it's just sort of gathered plenty of momentum, and really it's about celebrating the love of reading and bringing the community together. So we think we're going to smash it today. So we've got 780 students, hopefully all participating, mm-hmm. about 90 staff, and hopefully about 100 parents.
Yeah.
And with a bit of luck, we will smash this record. So that's the plan.
As far as Dr. Seuss books go, which one's your favourite, mate?
Oh, I do like The Places You'll Go. That's definitely the favourite. So, yeah, I'll be reading a little bit of that out today when we do the event. All the students will be dressed as Thing 1 and Thing 2,
mm-hmm.
and the teachers and support crew are dressed as other Dr. Seuss characters. So I'm the cat in the hat. And I did post up on the parent Facebook page a picture of the other deputy, Simon, sewing his Grinch outfit on Saturday night.
Of course,
night.
So, Grinch, yeah.
The Grinch, yeah. There's lots of characters and lots of really good messages out of Dr. Seuss, which is it's a timeless book which can be used all around, and all the students love it, which is fantastic.
So, absolutely. I can tell you for a fact I've never had a green egg or a green ham because of Dr. Seuss.
We have got our U6s cooking green eggs and hams.
Oh,
fun as well.
Maybe she'll come and give it a go. No, that's great, mate. That's it sounds like it's going to be huge. Put Vass on the map.
I hope so. Yeah, so it's gathering plenty of momentum. And look, you only live once, and we thought, let's have a bit of fun and also let's break a world record while we can.
Absolutely. Any parents that are listening right now, this is your reminder. If you happen to have kids at Vass Primary School, turn the car around if they're not dressed up and give them a wig.
Correct. Or blue hairspray.
That's smart. Blue hairspray. Smart. Excellent, mate. Well, good luck with it, and hopefully you smash the world record. Thanks for the chat today.
Thank you. Yeah, great. Thanks very much, Alan. Thanks, everyone.
A bit of a picture that's going a little viral now. It was actually taken in 2015, but has resurfaced again after people have seen police in Queensland with an undercover cop car with those My Family stickers on the back of it. The reason why it's getting so much attention is a lot of people saying, oh, that's a little underhanded. That's a little bit cheeky. How dare they put the police, the little stickers on there to hide the fact that they are a cop, which I don't know. I'm kind of like, you know, do what you got to do. I mean, if it's you're undercover. So My Family stickers make complete sense, but I am curious where they're going to go with this. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they're going to put My Family stickers on the cars, what else are they prepared to do to go undercover? Like, are we going to see something like this, right? So you're driving on Forest Highway, you're near Brunswick, and you're stuck behind a tractor in front of you. You're driving, you're like, oh, this tractor, when am I finally going to be able to overtake it? You look, you know what? I'm going to do something a bit cheeky here. Let's get the car ready. Let's give it a bit of a rev. Let's overtake this tractor. Here we go. Boom. Exactly what you expect. Undercover cop tractor. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe that's a bit too extreme. I don't know. You may have heard about this story a couple of years ago in March of 2016 of three horses being in a very, very bad way after RSPCA looked at a property in Waroona. Well, since then, the woman has gone to court and it has been confirmed what her sentence has been. The 38-year-old woman has been found guilty. Out of the three horses, when the RSPCA did arrive at the property, out of the three, one was deceased, one had to be put down, and now one has been rehabilitated. Thank goodness for that. The total punishment, including you got vet costs, fines, and legal costs, came to over $17,000, and also sentenced to 100 hours of community service work. The couple of comments that are worth mentioning in regards to it are one from the RSPCA Chief Inspector, Amanda Swift, who said that the scenes were truly distressing, but had the owner taken the action earlier and sought help, they might have been able to save the two horses and actually, and be able to assist. So if you happen to be in a very similar situation, where you can't look after your animals on your property, please get in contact with the RSPCA. Just seriously, just please do it, because that's distressing. I saw some of the photos and it actually just really, really makes me upset. And MasterChef, oh, we have almost finished it as we are in finals week. And unfortunately for Chloe, she was sent home last night. I now have her on the line. How are you? How are you feeling?
Good, how are you?
I am doing well. Sorry that you got sent home from MasterChef. Disappointing.
No worries. It's not that bad.
How do you feel when it happened? Like, obviously you made it to so close to winning the whole thing, you get sent home. Does it feel bad, or is it kind of like you're relieved a little bit?
It's a bit of both. Like, I think, you're obviously relieved, the pressure is off. You would love to go further, and it was just my time at the end of the day, and I'm so happy to be reunited with my kids.
Yeah, I imagine that would have been grueling on your mind the whole time while you're in the competition.
Yeah, for me, that was my biggest struggle in the house. But, there were so many parents in the house, so we kind of leaned on each other, and it was like a really good support network.
Absolutely. Was there plenty of times you were cooking going, oh, the kids would have loved this one?
Yeah, sometimes they would have been like, Mum, no, like veggies.
Can you get fancy when cooking for kids?
Do I get fancy?
Yeah.
No.
No, you can't, no. Can you? You just got to kind of like, no. Just almost like military style, just get the food into them and send them to bed.
They kids like ugly, delicious food. So,
ugly, delicious.
Yeah. That's the way to go.
I was noticing on Facebook, for some reason, you were getting a bit of a bit of backlash last night. Everyone was like thinking that Sashi was on his way out, and they were really hoping that you weren't going to win. I was like, where did this all come from?
I don't know. I actually haven't seen it. So,
well, don't.
Use my ears.
don't look at it there. Don't look at it. No, I don't know. I think the support for Sashi was just so big. He seems like a real genuine bloke. I assume he is.
He is. Everyone is so genuine. They're beautiful people. And, I think we're lucky. I think every year says the same thing. Like, they're so lucky that, they have a new family and everyone gets on.
You walk into MasterChef very inexperienced versus how experienced you come out of it. How much behind the scenes cooking is there that we don't see on TV?
Oh, so much. Like, if we're not in the kitchen cooking, we're usually at home cooking, or we're reading cookbooks, or, we're just, talking about food. It's just, we live and breathe it for months.
And also, a question I've always kind of been curious about, what's the turnaround time between when you've finished cooking and you've got it plated up to when the judges actually get to taste it?
Oh, that's a good question. It just depends on how quick they, and how many cooks we have that day. So it could be pretty quick.
Yep.
Or, it could be like an hour or so. Like,
yeah, okay. Do they like nuke it, chuck in the microwave if it's too long?
No, if you look on the internet, things are eaten cold.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I think, they come in, they clean the kitchen and, reset. And if you've got 24 people, that's a long time to get through everyone.
It most certainly is. Well, Chloe, what's next for you?
I'm going to do some pop-up cooking schools and I'm working on health industry programs for schools.
Oh, that's great.
So, I've got a good future.
No, that's really good. Like Jamie Oliver, I love it.
Yeah. but Australian.
But Australian. That's exactly what we need. I love it. Chloe, good luck with your next step, and thanks for having a chat with me, okay?
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You might have been a little bit shocked at some of the vision that came out of Ferguson yesterday, with Gnomesville looking like it was pretty much getting washed away. We did see, obviously, some massive, massive downpour around Ferguson Way, and unfortunately, the Gnomes did pay the price. Now, I have a little gnome there. I dropped it off with my wife when I visited there last, and I got a feeling that is long gone. It was tiny, had no chance of survival. But looking at the footage, it appears that there are still some left, in case you're wondering if it's even worth checking out anymore. And I think Ferguson is aware of that, which explains why they've created a different avenue when it comes to their brand new advertisement. Here it is.
There sure has been a lot of rain in Ferguson over the last couple of days. You may have seen water flowing through Gnomesville. But don't worry, all this water means one thing. Surf's up!
Take it all!
Hang ten as we ride these massive waves and try and avoid the breaks. Life's a beach, so come in, pull in, and kick out. Let's hear from one of our gnarly gnomes. Classic Jasper. See you at the waves, Gnomesville, Ferguson Valley.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, eh? Gnomesville, check it out before it washes away. So I've got on the line the Regional Education Officer from the Cancer Council, Shanae. Good morning, how are you?
Hi, how you going, Alan?
I'm doing well. Daffodil Day, that's coming up pretty quickly.
It is. It's very soon. This year, it's actually going to take place on Friday, the 24th of August, mm-hmm. and we'll be raising funds for cancer research.
Absolutely. So we'll start seeing those daffodils at checkouts and numerous other places?
Absolutely. So we're actually going to be located all around the southwest, but some of the stalls that we'll be organising will be at Australyn, Treendale, the Bunbury Forum, Centrepoint and Park Centre. But we also, every year, have a street appeal, which means we'll be walking up and down Victoria Street. All of our volunteers will be nicely bright and yellow, so that should be a fun day, and we're hoping the rain holds out.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that happening on Daffodil Day itself?
Yes, so Friday the 24th of August.
Excellent. So what does the street thing involve? You guys are just going to walk up and down and hit up businesses on your way?
Yeah, so we usually let them know we're coming along. Mm-hmm. We're really going to be selling daffodils, some other merchandise. We've got... this year, we've got everyone's favourite collectible bear, Dougal, and he's unveiled his new profession. He's a policeman this year. And policeman Dougal will be exclusive to WA, so I'd be trying to get my hands on one of them.
Yeah, that's really cool. Policeman Dougal.
Yeah.
That's a great name. But you guys also sell pens and all sorts of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of merch, so keep an eye out. You can grab whatever you like, but just be aware that this year we are raising funds for cancer research. And this year in 2018, Cancer Council WA, we committed close to $4 million in funding cancer research, and that's throughout 33 projects in the state. So that's really exciting. And, you know, we know that over the past 20 years, more than 61,000 Aussie lives have been saved by these improvements in cancer research, so, you know, in cancer prevention, screening and treatment.
Mm.
So it's pretty exciting stuff.
It really is for a great, great cause. If people want to just make a donation online or learn more about it, where's the best place to go?
Yeah, you can head to www.daffodilday.com.au or call 1300 65 65 85.
Excellent. Well, Shanae, thanks for the chat today. I'm looking forward to marching on the street with you.
Great. See you then, Alan.